Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
So Adam Silver told owners last Tuesday that he wanted to make a final decision on the season in 2 to 4 weeks. So by next week, we're going to pass the 2 week mark. There is a board of governors call late next week. So I would expect there to be some movement toward a decision into next week. And at some point, next week we'll mark the 2 week mark. Could it go into June, first, second week of June? Sure. But Adam Silver gave a 2 to 4 week window last week.
That is the voice of Shams Charania of The Athletic, right here on The Score with Lawrence Holmes last week. I'm Mark Grody, along with Bruce Levine, with you here on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score, until noon today. We are in for Dan Bernstein. We just had a great hour of baseball talk. We will discuss the Chicago Bears at 11 with Brad Biggs. We'll get into the weeds on the Bears and what the NFL may be planning to do. Yes, indeed. This hour, though, is about our United Center tenants. We are going to talk about the National Hockey League and the Blackhawks with Jay Zawoski in about 25 minutes from now, about 10:25. Right now, though, let's get it started with the NBA and their potential plans for resumption. We are going to do it with KC Johnson, Bulls insider for NBC Sports Chicago. He is on Twitter at KCJHoop. What's going on, KC? How are you?
Morning, gentlemen. Thank you for having me on, and also thank you for the Radiohead to bring me in. I appreciate that.
As always, man, we know how you do, Radiohead. And, it's you're working for us on a holiday. So, you know what, Casey? That one's free. That one's on us.
Thank you.
So, NBA talks set to resume play, or hoping to resume play, at the Disney's ESPN Wild World of Sports complex. That'd be the Wide World of Sports. Is this viable? What do you think? And what's your gut feeling on if this is going to work out and they will actually resume play at some point in time?
Well, it's viable, Mark, just in the sense that, it's been clear that Adam Silver and thus, the owners, and really also they've had good cooperation from the Players Association too, have been pretty focused on crowning the 1920 champion. Safety and science, as Adam Silver has said, is always going to dictate everything, but it's been clear from the onset, and the NBA received some kudos for kind of being progressive with this, obviously, since they were the first league to shut down, but it's been clear from the onset that they've wanted to try to crown some sort of champion. The number of contingency plans and the fluidity to those plans shows that they're really open to a lot of different things still, even though they're kind of nearing this 2 to 4 week window that Shams alluded to, that Adam Silver mentioned on the conference call. So I do think personally that they're going to try to resume something. I've always been up the camp that it's not going to be all 30 teams. So I don't think the bullies are going to have much to worry about, but I could be wrong there. Like I said, there's plenty of plans in the air and plenty of fluidity to these situations. So we got to wait and see what the official word is.
Casey, I also thank you for coming on a holiday. Great to talk to you as always. I want to ask you if it's easier and does it make more logistical sense for the NBA and NHL to come back, because for the most part, the players have been paid their salaries with their systems of revenue sharing, with their systems of a salary cap. That will not be the contentious part of NBA players and NHL players coming back.
Well, as we know, Bruce, money dictates not most everything, but a lot of things, or at least plays a role in most all major decisions. So I do think there's still a financial component to this. I think it's multi-layered. I think there is a genuine desire to have closure on the 1920 season and crown some sort of champion. Not crowning one would be unprecedented. And so I think there's that layer to it. I think also there's the layer, and I know this for a fact, that the NBA would recognize the need that it's providing for people. I mean, I think we've all seen from whether it be The Last Dance or, yesterday's golf exhibition, how unifying and needed these moments can be when they're done the right way. So I know there's an element to that from an NBA perspective, but your point is accurate, Bruce, in the sense that it's probably not as contentious in terms of the money that I've seen in terms of the baseball talk. However, players' paychecks are just finally starting to be withheld 25% to escrow. There's tons of TV revenue at stake still. I don't know the fine print of the contracts. I just know some generalities. But, again, there's certainly maybe it's not as contentious between the Players Association and the league as MLB appears to be from afar. But there's always a financial component to most everything with professional sports.
Talking to Casey Johnson, Bulls insider for NBC Sports Chicago, along with Bruce Levine. I'm Mark Grody here on The Score. Casey, they're not going to resume any sort of regular season, are they?
Like I said, Mark, I mean, nothing's definitively decided. I personally will be surprised. That's all I would say. And that's a combination of just my own opinion, my own gut instinct, and also just some, I'm not even calling it reporting, but just conversations I've had. So I'm not reporting anything there. I just personally will be surprised if there's some sort of regular season. But like I said, that's one of the contingency plans on the table. Bring all 30 teams back and play 5-7 or what have you, regular season game. So that's not to say that it won't happen. I just personally will be surprised if it happens. I think the idea that's gaining the most traction is ranking the 16 current playoff teams as is, and having one play 16, two play 15, etc. So that would obviously just be limited to 16 teams, and also eschew finishing any kind of regular season. So that's the one that I've seen kind of gain the most traction in terms of people talking about it. Again, that's not to say that I'm privy to the conversations that are going on at the high levels as of now. I mean, Silver's got another Board of Governors call this week. Obviously, everything needs to be collectively bargained, so the Players Association has to sign off on it as well. But I've all along thought that bringing all 30 teams back for any resumption of regular season is a long shot. I mean, just one quick logistic. I mean, they're talking about a two-week training camp at each team's practice facility and then 2 weeks of acclimation inside the campus environment, whether it's Orlando, which seems to be the leader, or Vegas, or what have you. So you're going to have, let's just use the Bulls, for instance. You're going to have the Bulls do 4 weeks of training camp to play five regular season games. It just doesn't logistically seem very feasible to me. Like I said, these decisions are fluid and still being discussed.
Oh, and Casey, it would just be so, since you mentioned the Bulls, it would just be so awkward if, as you said, the Bullies, if they were to return with the new bosses, the same coach and the same players. I mean, privately, the Bulls got to be like, no, let's not get this regular season going again, because it just would seem so disorganized at that point.
Yeah, you bring up the new front office, and that's just added a whole different dynamic to that. I mean, my last knowledge, and it's not like I'm checking on this daily, but Arturas and Mark Eversley are still not even in Chicago. So, I mean, you talk about that. They hit the ground running and then go into a shortened regular season. I mean, that would just seem odd. But it's a possibility. I think I personally think it's an extreme long shot.
Casey Johnson of NBC Sports Chicago joining Mark Rohde and myself, Bruce Levine, for just a few more minutes. We're all sitting in for Dan Bernstein today on a Memorial Day. Casey, the revisionist history of The Last Dance is intriguing to me, interesting. I covered all those teams from the early 80s right through the 90s when they all walked out the door. The one thing that I have the hardest part dealing with is the perception of Jerry Krause, and that there has to be a good guy and a bad guy in all of this. You have a close relationship with the Krause family, as I did when Jerry was still with us. And I'm wondering what their perception of what they would like going forward with some of Jerry's memoirs that you've had been able to go through, and where you're going to be taking that in the future.
Yeah, Bruce, I miss those days at the Berto Center. You and I were side by side in those cubicles in the windowless insurance office that was the media room. the family was incredibly gracious, sharing some of Jerry's writings. I was aware that Jerry had put pen to paper in late 07, early 08 for a while. And, Jerry at one point actually wanted to be a writer. So it was kind of neat for me to look through some of those writings. And you know, there's times where actually he turns phrases very well. And other times it's a little bit more raw and needed a little bit more work. But with, you know, the family's direction and blessing and guidance, we were able to share some of those words at NBCSportsChicago.com. It was a great gift that they gave us. And we were very appreciative of it. Someday I think it's something where, the family's not really doesn't really seek too much. I feel like the family got a sense of closure. I was with them in Springfield, Massachusetts, when Jerry posthumously went into the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame. I spent the whole weekend with them out there in 17, and I know that how important that weekend was to them. As you know, they're pretty private people. Jerry's was a pretty private person. Where they go from here, we'll see, but it was nice to be able to offer those words during The Last Dance. And, you know, one thing I've said on other places I've talked about it is it wasn't meant to, like, try to settle scores or defend legacies or disrepute other people's personalities or stories. It was more just to throw his words out there for some added layer of perspective if you choose to want to have that. I mean, you know, if you could still read those things and still be angry at Jerry Krause, that's certainly, you're right. I don't think there was any agenda with those words. It was just trying to add a voice for him at a time when he didn't have that and just throw another layer of perspective to it. And we were happy to be able to do it.
Casey and Mark, I do know that the fictional part of the situation was interesting to me because of the fact that Phil Jackson had sat down with Jerry Reinsdorf before that season, and they had decided that he wasn't going to come back. So when Jerry Krause was asked about it, he said, "It really doesn't matter what we do this year. We can go 82-0, and Phil Jackson will not be back." That was a focal point of the of the entire series, and yet the meaning was totally skewed because of the fact that Phil had already told him he wasn't interested in coming back, he wasn't interested in being part of a rebuild, and that Jerry was reiterating it in an unfortunate way, making it sound like he was making that decision.
Yeah, and I think Jerry Reinsdorf, Bruce, to your point, has come out now, and you know, he's done some media interviews, including with us at NBC Sports Chicago. And I think, at least in my story, I know he addressed that and made it clear that, you know, I've said all along, the difference between 96 and 97 is, let me get my years right here. I'm sorry, 97 and 98 is pretty simple. In 97, Krause and Phil's agent, Todd Musburger, had really, really difficult negotiations, and Jerry Reinsdorf flew personally to Montana to finish the negotiations one-on-one, no agent, no Krause, with Phil, and brought him back for 97-98 on a one-year deal. In 98, Jerry Reinsdorf offered Phil that same opportunity. Hey, you want to coach? And Phil said no. So, I'm not blaming Phil either. The thing had just naturally run its course, and certainly his and Jerry Krause's frayed relationship played a big role in Phil's decision. However, that's the difference. In 97, Reinsdorf was able to convince Phil to come back, and in 98, he was not able to. So, yeah, to paint Jerry Krause as the lone problem in that is just inaccurate.
Well, as long as we are scavenging off The Last Dance still, I have to say that I was haunted by the end. And the part was Michael Jordan basically saying that it was cut off too soon. And I totally understand what both of you guys are saying about Jerry Krause. But I do believe that the Bulls could have won again. And I do believe if Jordan, and this falls on Jordan, if Jordan had really wanted to get in the ear or in the face of Phil Jackson, maybe him, he flies to Montana and sits down with Phil Jackson with the power of persuasion and the earnestness from Michael Jordan. I think he probably could have gotten him to come back and maybe even Scotty and take one final run at it, because I just feel like that whole documentary was about the sheer will, desire, win at all costs. And yeah, they were tired towards the end, but I think there was still something left if Jordan had gone to bat at that point.
Well, I mean, that's obviously the fun part of The Last Dance is everybody, like Bruce said, is spinning their own revisionist history. And it's all speculative, so we don't know what the truth is. Everybody has their own remembrance. Everybody has their own perspective. I personally strongly dispute that Scotty would have come back on a one-year deal. I just do not see that happening. Phil, I still maintain, would have been gone even if Michael goes out and talks to him. Maybe you're right. I mean, you're right. He is a willful person. I'll just close with this, though, gents. Michael said that he would never play for another coach other than Phil Jackson. Then he played for Doug Collins in Washington. So you never know.
That's a great point, man.
Yeah, never has its time limits. It's not never. It's not. It's until I do something else. It's usually the answer. And the only thing I'll chime in on both what you guys said is the fact is that Scottie Pippen was grateful to the Bulls for the sign and trade that he was part of to go to Houston so he could finally make the NBA money that he deserved. And he's forever grateful to both Jerry's for that. And the fact that that Phil Jackson wanted that next champion, that younger championship caliber team to coach, and Los Angeles was waiting for him, is fact. So, some of the revisionist history, and as you said, Casey, and Mark, you said to your point, you can read it any way you want. There's just some non-reality to what Michael said was the team coming back for one more year.
I've been maintaining throughout this, and this is just my perspective, my opinion, is I feel like the Bulls won the number of championships they were supposed to win. Because I've actually heard from other people from those teams that, people are talking about 98, 99. What about 93, 94? I mean, Michael retired in his prime. I mean, that's the one that people think that they let get away. But I think anybody who watched this documentary saw how burnt out Michael was even before his father was obviously just horrifically and tragically murdered. I mean, I think he was going to be retiring whether that murder happened or not. And that just added a just awful layer to it. So, but I mean, you talk about 98, 99, leaving that title on the table. 93, 94, that team was not getting beat. I mean, they basically almost, they're a Hugh Holland's call away from advancing to the conference finals, maybe without Michael Jordan. So that's one that they left on the table too. You could speculate, but that's why I just personally feel like the Bulls won the number of championships they were supposed to win.
And they still have not said the words Hugh Hollins in The Last Dance once. That really irritated me. But before we turn this into an hour-long segment, because I feel like we still could, Casey, thank you for coming on with us, and enjoy the rest of your Memorial Day.
Good talking to both of you guys. Thanks for having me, man.
Take care, yep. Case.
Absolutely. That is the one and only Casey Johnson, Bulls insider for NBC Sports Chicago, was with the Chicago Tribune all those years.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.